This is Best of All. Tonight, starring Skitch Henderson, Oscar Hammerstein, Otto Preminger, the voices of Pearl Bailey, Alga James, Laverne Hutchinson, Marilyn Horn, and others. This is Kenneth Banghart presenting for NBC Best of All, another in a series of programs saluting each week an outstanding American achievement in the field of music, musical comedy, operetta, and motion pictures. Tonight, Best of All salutes the great new motion picture, Carmen Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, the musical director of Best of All, Skitch Henderson.
Thank you, Kenneth, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to discuss and play excerpts from two Carmens tonight. The Carmen of La Scala Milano and the Metropolitan in New York, and the Carmen Jones of the Rivoli Theater on Broadway and Groman's Chinese on Hollywood Boulevard. Now, obviously, we're going to put the emphasis on Carmen Jones inasmuch as she made her motion picture debut on the cinema screen here in New York this past week.
And obviously, Skitch, discussion emphasis will be musical, I'm sure.
It certainly shall be. The overture of Carmen is traditional both in the operatic version and in the film version.
And the overture, as you will hear in the motion picture version of Carmen Jones, will sound like this. As you said, Skitch, that was the overture from Carmen Jones. There's no difference practically between that and the original Carmen overture, right?
Nothing ever changes. And in these excerpts from the film scores, the second excerpt that we have actually contains many different themes from Carmen. Now, to draw a comparison, I thought that I would ask our trumpeters tonight, Mr. Severinsen and Mr. McMichael, to play one of the themes that is familiar in this potpourri. Gentlemen, if you please. Jolly Rogers.
And here's how this sounds in the motion picture version, where it's called the opening medley.
And war, win that war. Before we let you go, we would like a kiss, the kind of kiss you're saving up for Joey. Oh, we can't let you go. Before we let you go, we would like the kind of kiss you're saving up for Joey.
I'm a chick that likes one rooster, never mess around with two. That is why I must refuse to be more than just polite to you. I like your eyes, your teeth are white and snowy, but when it comes to teeth and nails, there ain't no flies on Joey. Oh,
That was the opening medley from Carmen Jones. The story of Carmen Jones, which it must be remembered is about American Negroes and is laid during the last war, gets underway swiftly as we're introduced to Joe, who works in a parachute factory, and his sweetheart, Cindy Lou. Joe, played by Harry Belafonte, is about to leave the factory to join the Air Force, and his fellow workers are giving him a party. In the midst of the celebration, Carmen Jones, played by Dorothy Dandridge, comes in. A swaggering, alluring girl of many feminine wiles, Carmen has her mind and heart set on capturing Joe's attention. But he doesn't swerve in his devotion to Cindy Lou, not even when Carmen Jones sings the great Habanera. And here it is, as sung by Marilyn Horne.
I won't pick out a man, and he won't pick out me. It don't go that way. You can't ever know where your crazy heart wants to go. Love's a baby that grows up wild, and he don't do what you want him to. Love ain't nobody's angel child, and he won't pay any mind to you. One man gives me his diamond stud, and I won't give him a cigarette. One man treats me like I was mud, and all I got that man can get. That's love.
He don't do what you want.
That's love.
Love ain't nobody's angel child. He won't pay any mind.
That's love. You go for me, and I'm taboo. But if your heart to get a go for you, and if I do, then you are through, boy. My baby, that's the end of you.
End of you.
So take your cue. Don't say I didn't tell you true. I told you truly, if I love you, that's the end of you.
You for me and I'm careful. But if your heart to give, I go for you. And if I do, then you are through. But my baby, that's the end of you. The end of you.
So take your cue. Decides to fly, there ain't no door that you can close. She just picks you a quick goodbye and flicks the salt from a tail and goes. If you listen, then you'll get taught. And here's your lesson for today. If I chase you, then you'll get caught. And once I got you, I go my way.
I'm no longer desired.
That's love.
There ain't no door that I
That's love.
She just lets you up.
That's love.
And picks the salt from her
That's love. You go for me. I'm taboo, but if you're hard to get, I go for you. And if I do, then you are through. Boy, my baby, that's the end of you.
The end of you.
So take your cue, boy. Don't say I didn't tell you true.
She told you true.
I told you truly. If I
Well, next on the schedule, Skitch, in my book at least, is the Flower Song. And isn't this the one that's the favorite of all favorites for tenors?
Seems to be the tour de force of this score. Also, it's facetiously used in television as a theme song for Mr. Rocky Graziano when he enters the stage.
Oh,
Martha Ray, if you recall. But it's a beautiful melody.
Well, here is the Flower Song as it's heard in the motion picture version, Carmen Jones.
I told myself I was dreaming.
Now, tonight on Best of All, we have two guests from the theater world. And first is a man that directly involved in Carmen Jones because he produced it and directed it as well. And here's Skitch to chat with him.
Thank you, Mr. Banghart. I'm always happy to introduce guests on our program, and of course it's especially wonderful for me to talk with such a wonderful person as we have with us tonight. In this case, we have somebody who has covered every facet of show business, I would say. I think that's the best billing that I can give him as a friend. It's the producer and the director of Carmen Jones, Otto Preminger.
Thank you very much, Skitch. It is very nice to be introduced by you like this. And I'm very happy to be here on behalf of Carmen Jones. I heard you were going to play a lot of our music. If I say our music, I should really say the music is by Bizet.
We can share it with Bizet at this day.
Yes, we have to, because the music, and this is an important point I want to make, has not been changed at all. It is not jazzed up. This is not a jazz version or anything. It is the real, original music by Bizet. Hammerstein only wrote new lyrics and a new book to this music, but neither in the Broadway show, which was given here, as you remember,
yes,
11
remember.
Years ago, nor in the picture, has any of the music been changed. We had some new orchestrations because we used a much larger orchestra than they usually use, but there's no change at all.
You know, I've often wondered, why has this property been passed up so many years?
Well, you know, picture business, like any other business, has certain taboos and superstitions. And one of the taboos is Negro pictures.
That's right.
Most businessmen, not the artistic, creative people in the picture business, but the businessmen are afraid that they won't be able to sell Negro pictures. So it is kind of an experiment to do a Negro picture. And while the picture was optioned, the property, the original property, was optioned quite often, these options were dropped because the people, as far as independents, could never get the setup to do the picture. And major studios who were interested finally never bought it. And I, who wanted to do it for a long time, had quite a tough time to put the package, as we call it, together.
You did have resistance then?
Yes, I had resistance, and I must say this resistance was, I was helped to combat and to finally defeat this resistance by Daryl Zanuck, whom I explained that I had this property, and you know, I've been working for Fox for a long time, but this is not a Fox picture, it's my own picture. But he immediately called the New York office and asked them if possible to make a distribution deal for me. So that's why the picture is distributed by 20th Century Fox, because he saw the possibilities and he believed with me that this could make a very good picture. Now, I don't know if you like it, I hope you will, but we all think that we have an extremely good and interesting and exciting picture.
How did you go about casting Carmen Jones?
Well, I opened an office here and I cast for about 8 weeks. You know, I probably saw every Negro actor and singer, you know, that was possible for the parts, and finally made my choice, with which I must say I'm extremely happy, not only with the results, because I do think that they all give extraordinary performances in every single part, but also during work, I have never experienced more cooperation, more devotion of a group of people to a task than this group gave. It was just wonderful and inspiring to see how no hour was too late, no day was too hot. We shot some of the scenes in the worst heat wave in California. Nothing was too much for them. They always wanted more. They were always there. They were always waiting. And I'm happy to have this opportunity to thank every single one of them, from the stars down to the last extra. We employed about 2,000 extras who were equally devoted and equally enthusiastic about this picture.
Well, this show auto is being heard in California, so I'm sure that they'll very happily accept that thanks. You know, I, for one, was in a way surprised that you used Dorothy Dandridge in the role of Carmen. This has no reflection on Dorothy as a performer, but to me this was a strange choice at first.
Well, I will tell you how I arrived at the choice. I made tests with about at least a dozen people, and her test was the best. It's as simple as that.
No other questions.
No other questions.
What other people did you use in the cast that the audience would know?
Well, Harry Belafonte, who made a very big success here in Almanac, and is quite well known all over the country, I found.
Yes.
Then Pearl Bailey, of course, who is very well known.
She's wonderful.
Then I used the newcomer, Olga James, who I found in my search for new talent, who is not well known now, but she played Cindy Lou, and she sang it with her own voice, and I think when you see the picture, you will agree that she's an extraordinary talent.
Mm-hmm.
Then I used a man whom people in the West, at least, know very well because he's a very famous disc jockey called Joe Adams.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then I used a lot of quite well-known Negro actors who I don't think are the names you will know now, but I hope you will all like them as much as I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you did tune in just a bit late, may I remind you that Best of All Tonight is presenting music, news, and information about Carmen Jones, something brand new in our on our movie screen. Our guest is Mr. Otto Preminger, a great man of the theater. Otto, I should thank you not only for being at this microphone on behalf of Carmen Jones tonight, but for all the wonderful acting performances that I've had the pleasure of seeing you do, and I've never had the chance to thank you, and this is the best opportunity.
Skitch, thank you very much for thanking me, and I thank you for all the fun that you have given me with your music.
Thank you very much, Otto Preminger. Now I think I'll get back to the podium and I'll turn the microphone back to Kenneth Banghart.
Well, Skitch, we come to the finale of the first half of Best of All, saluting tonight Carmen Jones. First, however, let's hear our own Best of All orchestra play from the original Carmen, Danse Bohème, popularly known, I believe, Skitch, as the Gypsy Dance, and then we'll hear the motion picture version in Carmen Jones. First, the orchestra in Danse Bohème. On the motion picture version, it adds a drum solo and becomes Beat Out That Rhythm on a Drum, and here it is.
In the music, but that ain't why I wanna dance. It's something thumping in the bass, that thump thump thumping on the music, that bump bump bumping on the music is all I need to start me off. I don't need nothing else, maybe I do, to start me off. Beat out that rhythm on a drum. Beat out that rhythm on a drum. Beat out that rhythm on a drum. And I don't need no tune at all.
Beat me that rhythm on a drum. Beat me that rhythm on a drum. Beat me that rhythm on a drum. And I don't need no tune at all.
Beating in my bones, it feel like 20 million tom-toms. I know there's 20 million tom-toms beating way down deep inside my bones. I feel it beating in my heart. And then I get a kind of dream. And in my dream it kind of seems there's one big heart in all the world. There ain't but one big heart in all the world. Beat out that rhythm of drum. Beat out that rhythm of drum. Beat out that rhythm of drum. There's one big heart in all the world.
Beat out that rhythm of drum. Beat out that rhythm of drum. Beat out that rhythm of drum. There's one big heart in all the world.
Now that heart is beating fast, and that's a rhythm I can dance to. I'm mighty glad I got a chance to, with one big heart that's beating fast. Tomorrow morning let it rain, tomorrow morning let it pour. Tonight we in the groove together, ain't gonna worry about stormy weather. Gonna kick old trouble out the door. Beat out that trouble drum. Beat out old trouble drum. Beat out old trouble drum. And kick his cockles out the door. Beat me that rhythm drum. Beat me that rhythm drum. Beat me that rhythm drum. And kick old trouble out the door.
Kick him out the door. Kick him out the door.
We're hearing tonight music from Carmen Jones. Listening to Best of All, tonight starring Skitch Henderson with Oscar Hammerstein, Otto Preminger, the voices of Alga James, Pearl Bailey, Laverne Hutchinson, Marilyn Horne, and many others. Now, part two will follow after a brief pause for station identification.
Stay tuned for more of Skitch Henderson and Best of All over most NBC radio stations.
This is Kenneth Banghart presenting part two of Best of All, tonight starring Skitch Henderson with Oscar Hammerstein, Otto Preminger, the voices of Alga James, Pearl Bailey, Laverne Hutchinson, Marilyn Horne, and many others. Now, some of our stations, Skitch, as you know, are just joining us for the second half hour, so perhaps we ought to explain or recapitulate a little bit about what we're doing on Best of All tonight.
Well, Kenneth, tonight at least we're in part discussing and playing excerpts from two Carmens, the Carmen of the Opera House and the Carmen Jones of the cinema screen.
Well, now, for the beginning of the second half, we're of course going to have the famous Toreador song, right, which from the motion picture version is called
Stand Up and Fight.
And here it is.
Thanks a lot. but I'm sure glad to be where I can see so many friends of mine. How've I been doing? If you really want to know the truth, I'm doing fine. 17 decisions in a row, and only 5 on points, the rest was all KO. Jackson and Johnson, Murphy and Bronson, one by one they come, and one by one to Dreamland they go. How's it done? You ask me how's it done? I got a trainer man who taught me all I know. Sure feels good to have him in my corner. Hear his voice a whispering low. Big boy, remember, you must remember. Stand up and fight until you hear the bell. Stand toe to toe, trade blow for blow. Keep punching till you make your punches tell. Show that crowd what you know. Until you hear that bell, that final bell, stand up and fight like hell. When you fight out in the open air, in a patch of light, the ring looks small and white. Out in the blackness, you can feel 100,000 eyes filling the night. Cigarettes are blinking in the dark and making polka dots around the baseball park. Then there's a riot. Someone throws a punch and plants it right smack on the mark. Someone's hurt. You kinda think it's you. You hang across the ropes. That's all you wanna do. Then you look around and see your trainer's eyes begging you to see it through. They say, remember, big boy, remember.
Stand up and fight until you hear the bell. Stand toe to toe, trade blow for blow.
Keep punching till you make your punches tell. Show that crowd what you know. Until you hear that bell, that final bell. Stand up and fight like hell. Stand up.
Carmen Jones. I was about to say, Skitch, who doesn't recognize the Toreador song, but maybe not. Maybe you have some thoughts about that. We were just chatting while this was playing.
Well, you know, it's rather ironic because there are many men here in the orchestra who are with the NBC Symphony and have probably played in many opera orchestras that played Carmen. And I just thought, with the way the world goes today with electronics and modern recording as it is, wouldn't it be ironic if Bizet's music became known by titles like Stand Up and Fight, There's a Cafe on the Corner, My Joe.
From the Carmen Jones version rather than the original version of the opera.
Probably what shall happen.
Well, step number two now, continuing our musical examination of Carmen Jones, the new motion picture version, we have now There's a Cafe on the Corner.
Can romance alone, I ought to have a sweetie pie. Do what I have, with the air too. I threw his toothbrush out the door. Now that I'm free, my heart is sighing. I'm off to work and looking for more. Dozens of fellas telephone me, all asking me to make a date. I'm holding out for something special, but I don't know how long I'll wait. Where will I wind up? Who'll I be true to? Ain't made my mind up waiting for you to. What you say, brother? What you say, boy? In a time that we gotta wait. 10 o'clock sharp on the corner. See that you're right in there pitching. Cause I ain't the kind of a man that'll stand without hitching. Now you got your little filly at the starting gate. Got a little filly who is waiting to go.
There's a cafe on the corner from the motion picture version Carmen Jones. And Skitch, what's next on the calendar?
Well, tonight, of course, as I said, we are going to play some of the themes, the orchestral sound that you might hear in the pit at the Opera House and with the Burr brothers and family. Here you will get an idea of what you might hear in the Opera House.
In the original version of Carmen, that was the Nocturne, I believe. Was it not, Skitch? Right. And now, in Carmen Jones, it becomes My Joe.
Can't believe it's so. No, don't
Our second guest on Best of All tonight is a name synonymous with the world of entertainment. To list all his accomplishments would take up the whole program, so I'll just ask one musical man to fire away at another musical man.
Naturally, being a conductor and a pianist and somebody in show business, it's always a thrill for me to talk to people in show business. This is a special thrill for me because not only to talk to a friend, but as one of the men that I admire and who has set a precedent of taste in our business, I think that I could give very top billing to the man across the microphone from me, Mr. Oscar Hammerstein II. Is that formal enough, Oscar?
Well, thank you very much, Skitch. That's very nice.
Obviously, we are going to talk tonight about the current project, which is, of course, the music, basically, of Bizet and an opera called Carmen. I wondered when... It must go back, at least, your association with this story. Doesn't it go back a few years?
It goes back a long time, Skitch. I wrote it in 1942, but for 6 or 7 years before that, I was thinking about it. It was marinating. I saw a concert version of Carmen in the Hollywood Bowl. And you know, the concert version of an opera consists in the artist sitting in front of the orchestra and getting up when it is their turn to sing their aria. But what I learned that night was that the story of Carmen unfolded merely by singing the successive musical numbers, quintets, arias.
I see.
And this impressed me so much that I started to study the opera. Mm-hmm. I had seen it. I go way back to the time that Caruso and Farrar sang it together, and I heard them.
Really?
And it might have been the courage of Geraldine Farrar's unconventional performance which inspired me to take some liberties and make Carmen the full-blooded and lusty girl that I take her to be. Mm-hmm. I don't wish to take credit or discredit for that conception, because I think that was the conception of Prosper Mérimée, who wrote the novel,
yes,
and of Malhack and Halévy. Mm-hmm. I don't like a highbrow approach to this opera, because it is a popular opera, and it's a story that is not only a popular story, but popular because it's earthy. There's nothing highbrow about it, there's nothing elegant about it. And some of the people who have been shocked by my version are people who I don't think understand Carmen.
It's funny, you know, Oscar, talking about the operatic content of Carmen. Faye's son is, Scoop is now, he's just 14 years old, but a couple of years ago I decided that it was time that I take him into the halls of the opera house. I'd been taking him to concerts, and this is a difficult problem with a child, you know, how to approach the opera house. And I took him first to see Love for Three Oranges, which of course was obvious because it was, there were pretty things happened,
yes,
and there were laughs, as you might say, in the theater, I guess. But the second opera I took him to was Carmen, and he not only enjoyed it, but up to this day says that this is the first real music that he enjoyed in a concert hall. And this is a young man.
Yes, that's very interesting. And I think it's important for children to be introduced to opera and Shakespeare and all classics without too much reverence and with the idea that they might have some fun out of it. there's a special reason why I love this work of mine, and that is because it's the only play I've ever written that was not written on commission. I've been fortunate, I suppose. All my plays have been cooked up by a group of men, collaborators, producers, and we've said we will produce this, and there's never been any doubt about its production. I haven't had to run around looking for producers.
In fact, you had to stand them off recently, I believe.
Recently, but at this particular time that I wrote Carmen, no one was after me. I couldn't get a job in Hollywood.
Really?
And no one was offering to produce any plays for me here. And so I finally got the chance to write the opera I'd always threatened to write. This was my chance to do Carmen Jones, and I took it. And I spent 6 or 7 months down in the country playing the records over and writing to the records.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly enjoyed myself. It's always hard work to do a job like this, but this also involved enjoyment.
Who were the first people outside of yourself that evidenced an honest interest in this?
Well, face my wife, of course.
Dorothy, yes.
And then I took it around to various people, and they sort of gave me a patient smile and said, yes, it was interesting, but, I think that I went through about 8 or 9 producers that way. And Billy Rose was the man who leaped to the bait immediately.
Mm-hmm.
My demonstration consisted of playing the records very low and then singing my lyrics over the Italian lyrics. It was an Italian album that I used. And Billy saw it immediately and gave it, I think, a brilliant production. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky that way because I think Otto Preminger has given the picture a brilliant production. A little different from the play. It isn't as stylized as the play. In fact, it's amazing that he has combined so much realism with opera. I don't believe that's been done before.
Holly, I didn't live in New York at that time. I was living in California. How was the play received when you did it here in New York?
Oh, very enthusiastically. Mm-hmm. One of the best opening nights I can remember, and it ran for a year and a half here. And we had very talented people. We conducted a long search for them. And we had a double cast with three of the principals. It was, it is an operatic score, and we didn't jazz it up, and we didn't lighten it up, and therefore a girl can't sing the role of Carmen eight times a week. We had two girls, Muriel Smith and Muriel Ron, mm-hmm. who alternated. We had two alternates for Michaela, Cindy Lou,
yes.
and two Joes, too.
Oh, I see. Now, is there a great relation between the performance that you did on the stage and the performance in this movie version of Carmen?
Well, the movie version, as you know, has a double cast of singers on the one hand and actors on the other. Mm-hmm. I don't suppose there has ever been a common love interest that has been better played than by Dorothy Dandridge and Harry Belafonte.
I don't see how it could be possible.
In the first place, they're two extraordinarily attractive people, and in the second place, or perhaps this should be the first, they both act so well.
Yes, and besides that, they're very likable people personally, too.
And although their voices aren't being used, they are singers, and they understand singing. And when Otto produced this, he rehearsed the singers and the actors together. So the singers weren't giving concert renditions. They knew what the songs were about dramatically. And the actors knew how the singing sounded.
Even though Carmen Jones is playing here in New York, it had its premiere this last week. In fact, very exciting. Those of you that watched the Tonight television show on NBC might have seen Mr. Oscar Hammerstein, who's talking to us now, and other principals from the company. I know that those of you around the country, the picture may not have opened there yet, and I may remind you that it's in CinemaScope, and I believe also in color.
Isn't that right?
In full color.
In beautiful color, yes.
So I can't think of anything more attractive on the theater marquee than Carmen Jones. I want to thank you, Oscar Hammerstein. I know that... Dare I ask you what you're working on now?
Yeah, I'd be very happy to tell you. I've been working on Oklahoma on the film version all summer. That is on the production. We've nearly finished photography now, all except the ballet.
You were on location in where, Arizona?
In Arizona. Uh-huh. But while doing that, I've also managed to finish the first act of a new play that
really?
Is based on John Steinbeck's novel, Sweet Thursday.
Oh, that's
right. Rather perversely, we're going to call it Pipe Dream. But it is based on Sweet Thursday, and in my off hours, I don't know where I found them, but I did write the first act while in Arizona and in California.
And when do you expect to bring that to Broadway?
About a year from now, yes.
About a year from now. Who, yes. With whom will you collaborate on this?
Well, guess. Richard Rodgers.
R.R.
R.R. will do the music, uh-huh. And that's about all that's been decided.
Well, Oscar, it's such a pleasure to talk to you at any time, and I hope that maybe less than a year from now I may have you back and we can talk about your new effort.
All right, Sketch, I'll be very happy to come.
Thank you, Oscar Hammerstein.
Our Best of All orchestra here in the studio has begun one of the most exciting of all opera finales. Now let's hear the finale from the motion picture version, Carmen Jones, with the entire cast.
It don't count for nothing. Well, it does. You ain't never gonna do that to no man again.
Been listening to Best of All, tonight starring Skitch Henderson with Oscar Hammerstein, Otto Preminger, the voices of Alga James, Pearl Bailey, Laverne Hutchinson, Marilyn Horne, and others in Carmen Jones. This is Kenneth Banghart inviting you to be with us next week when Best of All will salute another American musical achievement. I think we have a wonderful program lined up for you next week. Skitch Henderson and the orchestra are going to play the score of the exciting new musical, Josh Logan musical, Fanny, written by Harold Rome. And Harold Rome will be Skitch's guest. This is an NBC Radio Network production directed by Parker Gibbs. Portions of this program were transcribed.
This evening, Zeno Francescotti joins the telephone.